Greetings, warrior. Your training begins now. Join J-Rum and Mission as they teach the ways of combat, teach the ways of the blade, and teach the ways to harness your magic. This will test your mind, your body, and your soul. Can you survive?
Hello and welcome. We are the Brothers of Tamriel. I am Jay Rumberg, joined here by Mission Maniac and Grim. How you doing, Mission?
Pretty freaking good, man. It's been a week. We're back on our normal schedule, thank God. We had some scheduling issues the last few episodes.
Oh yeah, we've been kind of swamped here lately, but...
Yeah, but we're back, baby.
We're back, baby. Here we are.
Grim, how you doing, buddy?
I am doing very well. Just been really enjoying Midyear Mayhem and playing my Nightblade up a lot. But other than that, it's been good.
Ooh, buddy. Well, why don't you go ahead and elaborate what you've been up to in game this last week?
This last week, I have farmed, I think, 5 to 6 million AP and gotten 6 different gold sets. And I got my... Amp, I think I talked about it last episode, and I still got my amp, so that was probably my most exciting thing the past 2 weeks.
Heck yeah, man.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a shitload of AP. Holy
that's
cow.
A lot of AP. I started, which as I've kind of told you guys this before, where I get, once a year I get on a PvP binger, and I started about 2 weeks before Midyear Mayhem started, and I'm already burned out of PvP, so I've been back into the PvE world. Just been dilly-dallying, you know, doing dungeons and trials here and there. I did, however, I thought I found my main, but it turns out I did when I first started playing PC. I'm back on my Magplar.
Oh,
I'm
nice.
Still working. I'm still working on my Stamplar. I still got a little bit. I got transmuting to do with him before he's ready to go out into the war that is ESO. Other than that, just been doing the normal stuff. You know, training, fighting, killing. What have you been up to, J-Rum?
Pretty much the same thing, Grim. Has been up to. I've been enjoying the Midyear Mayhem, really, really going hard on PvP. That's basically all I've been doing. I've been making sure that I get my Battleground dailies done every day, and that Win 3 is probably the roughest one, for sure. But other than that, I've been hanging out a lot in Cyrodiil, and yeah, just getting some AP. I just hit the rank of Major with this tune that I'm on right now, so that's exciting. And I've been farting around with a few experimental builds of my own, Destro, Resto, and but we won't get into any of that. That's I've been having a hell of a time doing it. All these Millennial boxes that we get, I think are awesome. I get a shitload of them throughout the day, and you know, by the time every day my mail is just like jam packed full of these boxes and stuff. I'm sure, Grim, you've been getting all kinds of them too.
Oh, dude, I like them for the Haikijos, man. Saves you a fortune.
Oh my God, yeah.
Just off the tri-stats alone.
Some, I've actually so far I've only picked up two motifs out of it, but I did get my second motif the other day. Those are pretty elusive in these boxes.
The motifs?
Been here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been getting the old Mary motifs for, obviously, my AD tune. Mission, I know you mentioned that you hadn't even picked any motifs up out of those boxes. Is that still...
I've got one out of a box... And then I joined the Lore Seekers for a little bit down in the sewers, and I got one off of a boss, and that is all the motifs I've gotten.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, I got a few motifs out of those boxes, but Other than that, I've been keeping up.
I got crap out of them. Just like mats, like, and not even good mats. Just like bottom of the barrel, like.
Trash.
Here's some mundane stones that you're never gonna use.
Yeah, here's some rice.
Yeah, have some poultry.
Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much what I've been up to in game. Like I said, enjoying Midgear Mayhem. I love the PvP side of things, and it's been a lot of fun so far. And we still got a couple more days to go.
Yeah, when does it get over? Speaking of which, because I'm really ready for people to get their asses out of Cyrodiil and come back and do trials.
I want to say the 3rd or 4th.
Yeah, I was thinking it was the 4th. I think you're right, Graham.
I remember looking at the date, and I'm like, all right, I still got some time left. I can get a couple more gold jewelries and spam a couple more chunks here.
Yeah, we got a few more days yet to go. But yeah, that's what I've been up to in game.
Sweet. You know, there was something I was like thinking about all day while I was driving that I was going to say on the show, and I have no idea what it was.
That's all right.
God.
Why I keep a journal.
Well, it's really hard for me to journal while driving.
Oh no, don't worry about it.
I mean, I can handle watching Netflix, but writing and driving is really hard.
I would think watching Netflix and driving is pretty hard.
No, it's an acquired skill for sure. I do turn on Netflix while I'm driving, but I don't really watch it. I more or less just listen to shows while I have the service, you know.
Yeah. I think that's still pretty dangerous.
Nah, it's just like listening to a podcast, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
if you want to think about it like that, yeah.
Oh, I know what I was going to talk about. Yeah. Okay, so I can't remember. Me and J-Rome were talking on the phone about this. I cannot remember if it was a podcast that I'd hopped into of the Lore Seekers or if it was just a random stream. Grim, I don't remember if you were in there or not. But they played, oh my god, Master Conniff from the Xbox side of things, Lore Seekers on Xbox. He wrote a ballad.
Oh, yes. Yes, for the Witcher.
Did you hear
the
that?
Witcher, yeah, toss a coin to your Lore Seeker.
Yes. Yeah, so it was the song Toss a Coin to Your Witcher from, you know, the new series, The Witcher. He put his own lyrics and he sang it.
Mm-hmm.
Toss a coin to your lore seeker, and oh my god, like, I think this is Jeff Tate's son. If you don't know who Jeff Tate is, you need to get a grasp on your music. But the dude's got some pipes. Like, it was an awesome song. The lyrics were freaking just amazingly written, and it really hit me hard because me and J-Rum, we've been writing music since we were kids. Music has always been a love and a passion for us. And whenever, like, if you get on my phone and you look at my Apple Music, most of my stuff is from independent artists. Because when people create their own stuff, they don't have ghostwriters, they don't have labels telling them what and what not to do. When they do their own stuff and I see something like this and that creativity comes out in somebody, oh my god, I just fall in love with it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just, like, Master Conniff, if you do listen to our show, dude, huge shout out. That was freaking awesome. And with that being said, Master Conniff has kind of inspired J-Rum and I. We were talking today, and since we have Grim...
Yes, sir.
As a new host to the show, mm-hmm. we need to do a change up of our introduction to the show.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And me and J-Rum are batting around the idea of actually writing a song and recording it ourselves for the show.
Just doing a little jingle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a little something for the intro.
Because we need to change it anyways. Because right now it only introduces, like, the pre-recorded only introduces myself and J-Rum.
Yeah.
So we need to change it. So Master Conniff, again, if you're listening, you have inspired the musical chord in us. yet again.
Yep. Yes, indeedy.
But yeah, that's all I wanted to say. I just wanted to give him a shout out real quick before we went on with the show, which reminds me, we do have a show. J-Rom, I believe you have a little bit of news for us today, don't you?
I do have some news, and this is actually some really, really in-depth, lengthy, so I'm going to just hit on it's the ESO's performance improvement plan for the following year, and this is a very, very in-depth article that you guys, if you want to find out more, you can go check it out on theelderscrollsonline.com, but so this is... Here are the bullet points. This is what Zaz, or the Elder Scrolls, is saying. We're working hard to make sure the Elder Scrolls Online runs as best as it possibly can. Read our plan for the game's upcoming performance improvements from ESO's creative director, Rich Lambert, and check back monthly for status updates. So, January of 2020, which has come and passed, the official update was, in January, the team continued work on everything coming for Update 25, including improvements to frame rate and load times. You can test many of these improvements yourself on the public test server for PC, Mac right now. Don't forget, when Update 25 does launch, you will be required to re-download the game client. Look out for more information on this process in the upcoming weeks. I know that one of the big things that they are doing, one of the big improvements that they are planning, is to cut the game down by about 30 gigs. So when we do reinstall this, it'll be a little quicker to reinstall, for one, and it's going to take out a lot of the extra fluff of the game. And this is going to be huge for the game itself. Everything should run maybe just a little bit better. What do you guys think about this improvement plan?
Dude, I can't wait. For one, the fact that they're making the download size smaller is just amazing. But yeah, I'm so looking forward to how much better the game potentially is going to run. Because me personally, and I'm sure J-Rom feels the same way, all three of us, never mind, we're all three console transfers. Mm-hmm. PC, to us, runs great.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, when I hear a native PC player kind of griping about lag or griping about this and that, it's like, dude, you have no idea.
You don't even know.
So to see and to hear this coming, like, I can't wait, because it's going to be amazing. Which I know, Grim, you're in Cyrodiil a lot, so...
Oh yeah,
the lag and stuff like that could be a little more intense than what I deal with on a daily basis, because I don't go into Cyrodiil.
Yep. I am. For me, I'm definitely looking forward to it. I think it's gonna help. Do I think everything will be fixed? Not sure, but I definitely think no matter what, the overall performance is finally getting an improvement, which is something all PvPers are very excited and been waiting around for. So, looking forward to
that. Very excited.
Looking forward with good hope in it.
Yep. So the Q4 of 2019 Update 24 was memory management overhaul and behind-the-scenes combat ability improvements, Phase 1. A complete rewrite of the Looking for Group system. Mm-hmm. And now Q1 of 2020 is patching overhaul. Work is complete and successfully launched on the PTS. Everything is on track to release with Update 25. So what this is going to do is, okay, it says this will result in approximately 16 gigs of savings on the disk, and that's for PC and Mac, and approximately 30 gig savings on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
Is that saying that's approximately the download size?
Approximately savings on the disk, the size of it.
Okay.
Load times have been significantly reduced, and every ESO player on every platform will have to re-download the game client, like I said earlier. So we're going to be getting faster loading fixtures and characters. As noted above, load times have been significantly reduced. And then behind-the-scenes combat ability improvements of Phase 2, which is also on the PTS. They're working on investigating and fixing a number of bugs identified on the PTS, specifically with Block. Work is in progress on resolving them in future PTS incremental patches. The next big thing here for Q1 is frame rate improvements, part 1. Initial effects manager work and bug fixes is complete and on track to release for update 25. During testing, they identified additional items we need to address in the effects manager, and that we'll see on update 26. Next thing is multi-thread working. Frame rate improvements, like I said earlier, and that covers Q1 of 2020. And Q2 is update 26. We're going to be seeing server optimization and stability with number one, pets. We're going to rewrite how pets are handled to be more performant as far as work better, more efficiently, and take up less overhead resources on the server. Initial code work is complete and an internal bug fix. Next, number two, player character loading. We will make the player character loading process multi-threaded on the server to improve performance. And that's on track to release for update 26.
Let me interrupt you for a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
So that first update, the one we're getting, which I believe is coming out like February 24th or the 5th, that one we're not re-downloading the game, right? That's because that's just a dungeon. We're re-downloading the game when Greymoor actually drops, right?
Right, when we're re-downloading it for update 25. So yeah.
Okay.
It won't be for the chapter. You don't have to re-download it, but for this update, you will. Once this update goes live, we're all going to have to re-download our games.
Oh, okay.
Next up is the combat scenes, behind-the-scenes combat ability improvements 3. So AoE ability performance on the server, that's what their focus is. This work will focus on making these ability types more specialized so they are more efficient on server performance. Note the overall player experience for these abilities, as far as your damage and your functionality, shouldn't change. This work is on track to be released with update 26. For the December 2019 update, they continued to roll out incremental patches to help address stability and issues with the Activity Finder. Because that was the big thing, was the Activity Finder. And I think they got it sorted out a little bit. I still have issues in BGs, but I don't know. Do you think that the Activity Finder is a little bit better or worse?
What do you guys think? Me personally, since I don't go into Cyrodiil, I don't really deal with that. But as far as like BGs and dungeons go, yeah, I don't. Dungeons bug every now and again, but I'm in game right now. I got queued for this BG like almost immediately.
Oh, awesome!
Yeah, I would say it's definitely gotten better as well. Still has its little hiccups. A couple of the common core problems are still there, but as a whole, it's definitely improved.
And that's something that I want to touch on too with the improvements, like. The community can't be, you know, we expect all fix. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to happen.
Like, everything to be fixed immediately.
Yeah, like, it takes time to do this stuff. Like, you know, there's people out there that think they freaking... I don't know. It drives me nuts because half the people that play this game don't know what goes into this game to make this game run as good as it does run.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, if you have like small little bugs and whatnot, if it drives you that crazy, go play WoW. You know, that's all I can say to you. Like if it really drives you that crazy, go play a game that actually has problems.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, and that that pretty much covers all the news that I had, which was about this Update 25 release. So today we're going to be talking about...
the Stamp Warden!
That is right.
That's my old baby.
Yes, indeedy. We're talking about the Stamp Warden. We're going to talk a little bit about, of course, as you guys know, if you're listeners of the show, builds, rotations, PvE, PvP, and I'm going to go over some of these passives, and we're going to find out what this Stamina Warden is really all about. Before I get started, do you guys have anything to say?
I think that about covers it. I'll be bringing up, so I find that Stamina Warden in PvP is really good for single target, but also group play, so I'll be definitely giving up two builds for them today.
Dude, that goes awesome. Both ways. The Warden has, the Warden is just the Warden, man. Like, if you're a tank, you're an awesome tank. Mm-hmm. If you're a healer, you're a great healer. Awesome DPS. I mean, it's just a great class all around.
Very flexible.
And it's super fun. Mm-hmm. Exactly. If you're into that, especially if you're into like the nature side of things,
that's why I liked it when I played a Warden on console, and the nature aspect of it, just that RPing of that is just so cool. Where you're, I really like the being a healer as a Warden.
Yep.
And that. Oh man, it's just so cool! All the abilities. They launched the Warden with Morrowind, I do believe.
Correct.
So yeah, yep. When we all started the game, there was no such thing as a Warden. So this class came around with Morrowind, and yeah, it's a great class. It's a lot of fun. I think the abilities, like the animations, are so cool. If you're, like Mission said, if you're into the nature side of things like that, it just looks super cool. But with that said, I'm going to go ahead and dive into these passives. So first skill line we're going to start with is the Animal Companions. And this is assuming that you have all your skill points into the passives. So first up, we have Bond with Nature. Rank 2 of it, when one of your animal companions is killed or unsummoned, you're restored 1260 health. Next one in the animal companions line is Savage Beast. Damaging an enemy with an animal companion ability grants 4 ultimate. This effect has a cooldown of 8 seconds. Next up is Flourish. Increase your Magicka recovery and your Stamina recovery by 12% if an animal companion ability is slotted. And that's a lot of recovery right there, that you're just free recovery. Next up we have Advanced Species. Increases your damage done by 3% for each animal companion ability slotted. Now, do you guys have anything to say about the animal companion skill line?
Nothing on my end. The animal companion isn't as prevalent that I notice on the Stem Warden. There's a couple things that are good, but it's not like a key factor.
Okay, I will a little bit disagree. Well, no, I won't disagree with you, because you're the PvP side of things. On the PvE side of things, the animal companions is very important because of that increased damage for each animal companion you have slotted.
Gotcha, yeah, right. That's fair. Yeah, for PvP, you really only have the shocks, so you're only going to see that one benefit. Now, granted, that's a good skill line, but it's only from that shock you're really going to see, unless you keep your netch on your front DPS bar, but then there's pros and cons to that, too.
Gotcha. Next skill line we're going to move on to is the Green Balance, and this is the... this is where all your nature abilities come into play. First passive up is Accelerated Growth. When healing, you or an ally under 40% health with a Green Balance ability, you gain Major Mending, increasing your healing done by 25% for 3 seconds. And this is huge. This is... The Wardens make fantastic healers, and this is one of one of the many reasons why, and because of this passive right here, that major mending is, that's huge. That increases your healing done by 25%. So, next up, we have Nature's Gift. When healing with a green balance ability, you gain 250 magicka or 250 stamina, and it restores your lowest resource pool. Next up is Emerald Moss. Increase healing done for green balance abilities by 2% for each green balance ability slotted. So, as we saw in the Animal Companion skill line, if we have a bunch of Animal Companions abilities slotted, we're going to be getting an increase in damage. While here, if we have our Healy green balanced abilities slotted, we're going to be getting 2% increased of healing for each one slotted.
The Warden is so awesome.
And that's another reason that it makes for a good healer. Next passive is Maturation. When you activate a heal on yourself or on any ally, you grant the target minor toughness, increasing their maximum health by 10% for 20 seconds. These passives are made for the Warden's success as a healer. Do you guys have anything to say about the healing line?
Absolutely, dude. Which I'm sure Grim can agree, whether you're a PvP healer or you're a PvP or PvE healer as a Warden, you bring so much group utility to your group.
Absolutely.
It is ridiculous how good a healer the Wardens are. This is gonna be kind of a bold statement, but on paper, skill set aside, on paper, Wardens are the best healers in the game, as far as numbers and on paper go.
Hmm.
Now, with me saying that, that does not mean if you've never played a healer and you get on a Warden, you're going to be the best healer in the game. It's not what I'm saying. If you've played a Templar healer for the last 4 years and you decide to switch to Warden, you're not going to be the best healer in the game.
Right.
This is strictly just saying, on paper, between group buffs and healer group utility and heals, the Wardens have the better numbers.
Yeah, and these passives stack up to make just set this Warden up for success for whatever you're going to be doing.
And I will say with the Warden healer, which we should do an episode on the Warden healer, because that's what I mained on console. The Warden healer is a little bit of a learning curve with your typical Templar healers. And the Necro healer has a little bit of curve to it. So your Templar healers, there are a lot of burst heals, which is good. It's all relevant to whatever you're doing. But the learning curve with a Warden healer, Wardens use HOTS. So being a good Warden healer kind of revolves around that timing of everything,
Well, mission, what are HOTS?
Why, I'm glad you ask. Those are heals over time. So like your Illustrious Springs or Healing Springs, whatever you choose to use. Your, what is that one? Fungal Growth, I believe, is the Warden's heal. But play what you want to play. Play what makes you happy, for God's sakes. Play what makes you happy.
Yeah.
But if you are a healer and you haven't tested out or tried a Warden healer yet, do yourself a favor and do it. They have such cool healing abilities. And once you get that playstyle down, and once you get that little curve to a little different of a skill set that it takes to play a Warden healer, once you get that perfected, oh my god, you are a healing machine on that class.
Oh, definitely. Our next skill lineup is the Winter's Embrace. Rank 2 of Glacial Presence, increase chance of applying your chilled status effect to enemies with Winter's Embrace abilities by 200%. So you're pretty much going to be giving them the chilled status effect. at all times.
Yeah.
Yep.
Next passive is Frozen Armor, which increases your physical and spell resistance by 500 for each Winter's Embrace ability slotted. And you might be thinking, hey, that sounds like a tank. Well, wardens do make really good tanks. Next one up is Icy Aura. Reduce the effectiveness of snares applied to you by 15%. And our last one is Piercing Cold. Increase your magic damage and frost damage by 6%. So this skill line is incentivizing you to use your frost abilities and your magic abilities. And it's also giving you good resistances for having these abilities slotted. So between the three skill lines, you're getting, depending on what you have slotted, you're getting an increase to your damage, you're getting an increase to your healing, and you're getting an increase to your resistance between all three skill lines. And you can fart around with the setup any way you want, but that's what makes this class so viable in so many different situations. Now, that covers all the passives for the Warden. So, I'm going to turn it over to you, Mission.
Okay. So before I go into the Warden stuff, that last set of passives, so the passives too, but there's also some of the abilities when it comes to kind of circling back to the Warden Healer. As a Warden Healer, and even as a tank, you have an ability that is your main armor that you share with anybody that's within a certain radius of you. Mm-hmm. So that's another group buff that the Warden has, where you can give everybody major resolve and major ward.
And that's huge to give it to your allies, because a lot of your buffs like that will only give you the...
I'm pretty sure the Warden is the only one that has an ability that does that.
It might be. I don't remember seeing it anywhere else.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, and it's super awesome. But with that being said, go ahead and jump into the build of this bad boy. So, like Jayram said, we are covering the Stamina Warden. I'll start at the bottom, work my way up. You know, the typical build for Stamina Warden. Pretty much any stamina class. All points into Stam. Red Guard, Orc, Bosmer. Those are the three top classes right now. Khajiit is floating around there somewhere. But again, that's not a requirement. You know, those are just quote unquote meta suggestions. Gear wise, Hunding's Nightmothers. Always a great beginner set if you're just kind of getting into the game. Like even if you can't get monster sets yet, like if you're not able to, doesn't matter. Run Hundings, Nightmothers, and you know, whatever, just throw like three pieces, make your jewelry, all your jewelry pieces like agility or something. The second tier of it, Hundings and Briarheart can be farmed out of Hrothgar. And you can wear, as far as monster sets go, Stormfist or Velodreth. If you're having issues with sustain, try Stormfist because it does have that line of stam recovery in it. And then last but not least, if you are doing trials and whatnot, arms of do your Reliquin set and your Lacesti set, Cloudrest and Sunspire. And Velodreth is the recommended monster set for the Stamina Warden. But again, there are different sets you can wear. I definitely would not change out Reliquin at this point. There's really no other sets that are going to outperform Reliquin. Lacestes is totally situational. Me personally, I don't run Lacestes, but I also play a Stamplar, so Lachesti's is not the best option for a Stamplar. But as a Stam Warden, you know, you could run Reliquin and Briarheart, you could run... Oh god, I'm gonna draw a blank on these sets. Deadly would probably work on a Stam Warden as well, because Deadly buffs your poison, physical, and bleed damage, and there is a lot of physical damage in Warden rotation. So I'm sure Deadly would actually work pretty well. Velidreth, that is totally interchangeable. You could wear Stormfist. If you are up there with your parsing, your light attack weaving and all that, and you're getting into bash canceling, and that is where you actually cancel an ability with a bash. So for example, you do like sub-assault bash, and that'll cancel that ability. Marslock is a good monster set to wear, because Marslock is really, really strong if you can get that bash in. The main abilities that we're going to run on this are your front bar, barbed trap, growing swarm, rapid strikes, soul splitting trap, sub assault, and you're going to double bar your bear for your ultimate. Your back bar, we're running arrow barrage, bull netch, poison inject, vigor, and your bird of prey. Now, when you're doing a parse, take vigor out of there and throw a fighter's guild ability there. And if it was me personally, maybe. And I haven't played a Stam Warden this patch, so I don't really want to say. I'm not going to say. I would take, when you're parsing, take Vigor out of there and throw Fighter's Guild ability in there. That will up your damage a little bit on your back bar, which mid-maxing, that's what we're looking for, is every one extra DPS that we can get. And the rotation for this, now, like I said before in the past, this is just a base rotation. There are other rotations out there, and I always do... I always use Alcast's website. It's alcasthq.com. I always use his websites when I'm on a tune or a new class that I'm not familiar with and I want to get a good baseline. Once I get his rotations down, then I start branching out and I start making some changes to the rotations to where, you know, maybe my rotation gets a little more dynamic. Maybe there's abilities out there that work better for me, for my playstyle, and so on and so forth. But for this particular rotation, we're going to start off, always, always, always make sure that bull netch is up. That bull netch is extra sustain, and it's major savagery, or not major savagery, major brutality, which is your weapon damage, which you should be running weapon pots when you're parsing anyways, but either way, it's still extra sustain. So that Betty netch is always up. So you pre-buff with your Betty Netch, pop your potion, and then you start off arrow barrage, light attack, poison inject, weapon swap. Light attack sub-assault, light attack rapid strikes, light attack barb trap, light attack soul trap, light attack sub-assault, light attack two rapid strikes, light attack growing swarm, weapons, light attacks, weapon swap, arrow barrage. Now, this is something that I haven't said in the past. When you do these rotations, you place your dots, you're back on your front bar, you're doing your main damage. That last ability, like for example on the Stam Warden, light attack, growing swarm, light attack, weapon swap. Try not to light attack into an arrow barrage, because that actually makes arrow barrage take longer to cast. So you want to light attack straight into arrow barrage. Because what ends up happening is you bar swap, you light attack after growing swarm, you bar swap light attack again. So you're putting two light attacks there, and you don't need to. I forgot what I was going to say with that. But anyways, so during this rotation, you hit the bear every time it's available. And you're going to hit it a lot, because the bear ulti is cheap. Like I said, I haven't played the Stam Warden this patch, but I know last patch, whenever you hit the bear, you drop an ability for it. So, for example, Light Attack, Sub Assault, Light Attack, Rapid Strikes, Light Attack, instead of Barb Trap. Well, no, you don't want to get rid of Barb Trap, because that's your Minor Force. So, like, Soul Splitting Trap, or maybe Rapid Strikes, Sub Assault, you want to keep going, and Barb Trap, you want to keep going. But Soul Splitting Strikes, or Soul Splitting Trap and Rapid Strikes, you could probably drop one of those for your bear. Because without your bear, you're going to lose a lot of DPS. But yeah, this is like we've said at the beginning, this is a beginner rotation. This is a static, very simple rotation. Aerial Barrage, Poison Inject, Sub Assault, Rapid Strikes, Barb Trap, Soul Splitting Trap, Sub Assault, two Rapid Strikes, and then Growing Swarm. And then you bar swap and start over. Make sure your Light Attack weaving in between each ability. And make sure you keep that bull netch up. Now, once you start getting into more advanced or dynamic rotations, where it's easier for PC players, but there are console players that can do it as well, where you're more or less watching your timers, and that's where dynamic rotations really kind of fall in place, because everything kind of starts, like, everything starts off nice in a smooth line at the beginning of the rotation, but as you go through, everything starts getting off a little bit. So the timings start getting off just a little bit. So Aerial Barrage might fall off a second sooner, or Poison Inject might fall off a second sooner. So you might have to go Light Attack, Sub Assault, Light Attack, Rapid Strikes, Bar Swap, Poison Inject, Bar Swap, Barb Trap, Light Attack, Soul Splitting Trap, Bar Swap, Aerial Barrage, Light Attack, Soul Split, or Sub Assault. That's where you start diving into your dynamic rotations. But that's not what we're here to do. So, one more time. Aerial Barrage, Light Attack, Poison Inject, Weapon Swap. Light Attack, Sub Assault. Light Attack, Rapid Strikes. Light Attack, Barb Trap. Light Attack, Soul Splitting Trap. Light Attack, Sub Assault. Light Attack, 2 Rapid Strikes. Light Attack, Growing Swarms. And Light Attack, Weapon Swap, start over. Easy peasy. Really, really simple rotation. Keep that Betty Netch up. If you do have issues sustaining, me personally, since I'm a Bosmer lover, whenever I create a new tune, I always start with the resource or the sustain race. So I always start off with a Wood Elf or my Mag on Breton. If you find that you're not having any issue sustaining, for example, my Stamplar. So I did a parse on a 21 mil dummy. And with the specific rotation that I'm doing, I was a Wood Elf. With the specific rotation that I'm doing, I ended that 21 mil with 77% stamina. Easy sustain. So I was like, the hell with this, I'm going Orc. You know, if you find yourself in that kind of a situation, absolutely go Orc, because you're going to get the most damage. We're running the Shadow Mundustone, of course. Weapon Power Pots. Oh, big thing here. For your weapons, this patch, we're doing an axe and a dagger. A Nurnhoned axe and a sharpened dagger, and we're running the damage health poisons. That is a big deal. If you don't have the Master's Bow, which chances of you not having the Master's Bow, but having the Maelstrom Bow, probably not very good. But if you have the Maelstrom Bow, do not run Aerial Barrage. You'll want to run Endless Hail. The Master's Bow, if you guys don't know or whatever, the Master's Bow buffs your weapon damage by 301 against targets affected by your poison arrow, which is Poison Inject. So,
and where does that drop from?
That drops from Vet Dragonstar Arena. If you don't have that, that's fine. Run the Maelstrom Bow. Maelstrom Bow, but like I said, if you're going to run the Maelstrom Bow, you want to run Aerial Barrage, but Endless Hail. Because I believe Endless Hail actually lasts a little bit longer than Aerial Barrage does, which in turn is what you want with the Maelstrom Bow. because Maelstrom Bow buffs that ability. It buffs Endless Hail and Arrow Barrage. We're going to run a weapon damage enchant on that weapon with the infused trait, because keep in mind and remember, they changed it to where our AoEs, such as Endless Hail and Elemental Blockade for Mag, will keep that weapon damage and spell damage enchant proccing off cooldown. This is where it's a little different. So on Stam classes, instead of running the 5, 1, and 1, you want to run all 7 medium. All Divines, all 7 medium. Because unlike Magic Attunes, we actually get a bonus per piece of medium armor that we're wearing, rather than maxing out at 5 pieces like the light armor does. Other than that, I mean, it's really, it's a pretty nice, simple beginner rotation here. Definitely make sure you use that, that bear during execute phase. That is huge, huge. So Outcast actually doesn't have execute phase listed here, so I'm just kind of looking at the abilities. If it were me, this is just me spitballing now, during execute phase, so this is 25% or below, make sure your minor force is up, which is your barb trap, so keep that up at all times. I would do arrow barrage, poison inject. If your bear's up, hit your bear for sure. And then I would do probably sub-assault and spam rapid strikes, putting the bear in there and just keep doing that until your dots fall off. Well, maybe. Yeah, you might just, y'all just gonna have to play with it, you know?
Yep, just gotta make it your own.
Yeah, because I play classes that actually have actual execute abilities, and in the Warden's case, your execute is actually your bear, because the bear does 100% more damage to enemies below 25% health. So hitting that bear in execute phase is going to be crucial to your final DPS. You know what? I just covered this in my stream last night, so I'll go ahead and do it here. So a lot of these I don't even know what to call these guys, like Outcast. A lot of these just like big name guys. They'll run, like for example here on Outcast website, he's got Braised Rabbit with Spring Vegetables for one food, which is the blue food. It gives you max health, a huge amount of max health and a huge amount of max stam. And then obviously Artam Takeaway Broth and Dubious Cameron Throne. So me personally, I like running on Stam and Mag. I like running what is known as the quote unquote cheese food. So like my Magplar, for example, he runs the Ghastly Eyeball, and my Stamplar runs Lava Foot. And a lot of people, like when I send Parses in, they're like, well, you're running the cheese food. I'm like, well, yeah, but I run it in content, you know, this is my normal food. And the way I'm able to do that is it's all in reallocating your attribute points. So go to a shrine, eat one of those foods, and see where you're sitting. Reset your attribute points, obviously, you know, so you got zeros all across the board. Eat one of those foods and see where you're sitting. So for example, if you're sitting at like, just say 11k health, okay, well you need about 3,500 to 3,600, because you're not going to be at 11k even, you're going to be 11k and some change, but you're going to need 3,500 to 3,600 health, which is roughly about 30 points. And you put the rest into Stam. Now your Stam, yeah, it's going to look low, don't get me wrong. If you're not used to doing it that way, it's going to freak you out, because you're not going to have that much Stam. For example, my Stamplar has 29k Stam. But I have like 1,600-1,700 recovery because I'm running the cheese food. So if you can get your health, you want your health roughly like between 15.5 and 15.8. And this is my own personal opinion. I know there's probably people that will listen to this episode and be like, no, you got to have 16 to 18K as a DPS in a trial, blah, 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 blah. No, you don't. I've been running trials for so goddamn long. If you have 15.5 to 15.8K health, when you go into any setting with a tank, you're going to have almost 17K health because he's wearing Ebon. And if they're not wearing Ebon, I hate to break it to all the people that want everybody to be at 16 to 18K health. A one shot's a one shot. Plain and simple. If I'm a DPS and the tank loses aggro and I get one shot for 35K, whether I have 15.8K health or I have 17K health, I'm still dead.
Yeah.
Also, to the flip side of that, to the other argument that they say, well, what about AoE damage and dot damage? Well, if I'm a DPS standing in AoEs, then that's my own stupidity, you know? That's my own ignorance, if I die to that. If I have a dot on me, that's a totally different thing. If you have a dot on you, that falls back on the healer, not keeping the purified down. So, if anybody argues about this cheese food thing, just tell them those three things. There is no reason whatsoever that a DPS needs 18k health. None. None whatsoever. I have completed Vet Black Rose Prison, V-Hoff, V-Mall, all of it. I've done every skin run in the game as far as dungeons go. Literally the only two skins I'm missing are the purple and the silver skin, and I did all that shit with 15.8k health. So if anybody tries to argue with you about it, mute them, block them, tell them shut the hell up, whatever. Play your game if you want to run it that way. Other than that, we'll go to the opposite side of the spectrum of this. Grim, what you got for us, buddy?
All right, so there's a lot of different ways, honestly, to run stamina wardens. They have, again, some of the best utility, just like Magical Warden. They have some of the best utility in the game for themselves and others. You're talking that 8% less damage just from your major buff. You're getting sustained 20% from your 24% to 20% increase into physical damage. Your heals are huge because of all those green balance abilities, so your vigor combined with vines and like a dot on the ground will pretty much make you unkillable with Troll King if you combine it with that. So they have this very tanky feel while still having great damage and sustain. Pardon with me, I got a bit of a cold, so my making me cough up a bit. So definitely solid characters, lots of stuff. So first we'll start with the gear though. So I'm getting ahead of myself a bit. So first things first, if you want a heavy armor setup, one of the best sets is still Fury, just kind of like the DK. Fury is a very solid set that just gives you lots of damage and good max stats. A backup set can be 7th Legion, or if you want more of a sustain, you can do Bone Pirate. For a little more damage, you can do Spriggan. So, but basically that bread and butter is still Fury with Blitzspawn. So that's your heavy armor setup. You usually do two-hand sword and board when you're going for that tanky brawler feel. You're going to always open on your front bar, you're going to open up with your shocks and do an uppercut. When the shocks hit, you usually want to land a, what's the skill called? Let me look at it for you right now, I can't think of the name. Dawnbreaker. So when the shocks hit and the uppercut lands, you usually want to Dawnbreaker into an execute. Those are your skills that are going to be on your front bar, along with, of course, Rally, which is your bread and butter. Some people like crit charge on front as a gap closer. Some people don't. That's kind of a flex spot. On back bar, you're just looking at your buffs, like your Betty Nets, your Vigor, your Vines, and your Ice Armor. And then there's one more flex spot. Some people like that AoE Stun Fear that you get from Fighter's Guild. Mark as something, I can't remember the name, but basically it's like an overall nice CC. Some people also do like, even though it costs a little bit of magicka, you can use the, I can't remember the name of it, hold on, I'll pull it up for you right now. I've pulled this up. Let's see. Under Winter's Embrace. There is. Arctic Wind. There is a morph of Arctic Wind that every time you take a third tick of damage from it, it stuns them. So some people, even though they run stamina, will use it for a free CC, which is kind of nice. And it's another dot heal, which is also really nice. So that is a good setup for heavy. Ultimates, yeah, you want Dawnbreaker on front bar, and back bar you want, let me read it for you off right here. The morph is, I don't think it's Permafrost anymore, it is Northern Storm. You want Northern Storm on, decreases your movement speed, major protection, and a huge AoE, just for that crowd control and survivability. You combine all that with Fury, Blood Spawn's high defense, and a nice sustain set. You're a solid, very hard to kill person on the field. You can also do Troll King, or also some people like Belrogs. So those are two other setups that you can do. And then I'm going to go over a medium armor kind of group play build. So for medium armor, you're going to be hitting harder, but you're going to be a little more squishy. So you just have to line the sight a little better. But usually for this, you use a two-hand and dual wield. Dual wield, you just really get that whirlwind to execute combined with your shocks, along with a sleet storm. So you just have a lot of AoE and control as you do your spins. It's good for alt dumps. A lot of utility. Blade Cloak is also nice to kind of keep you alive. And then Blood Craze is nice. Again, another tick. More hots and damage. So all solid things that definitely really help you. What else is good? On that character, sets for medium armor. You can do Bone Pirate, Fury, or Bone Pirate, and New Moons. Both are pretty solid. A lot of sustain. And a lot of damage, so it gives you a good amount of burst. And then for the set, because you are in medium, I recommend Troll King. It really helps you have a lot of healing, keeping you from dying when you line a sight nicely.
Troll King is pretty strong.
Oh yeah.
Troll King on a medium armor is extremely solid. Hey, there's my voice again a little bit. Sorry, I got this head cold and it's just like mugging me right now. But solid characters, really good. And actually, one last bonus build for you guys. Buddy of mine, Ardeth from Lorseeker, is another PvP lead. He actually created a straight bow build on the Warden. And I always see him doing 20 plus kills in his battleground, so it's pretty solid. He has been running Marksman, Spriggans, and Selene's. But using nothing but basically your two-hand for your utility, so like Rally and Heals, Vigor, and all that stuff. But then all on front bar is just bow abilities. So you have your Snipe, your Channeled Ultimate, Toxic Barrage, I want to say it's called, Poison Injection, and Magnum Shot for that little bit of a stun. And he does really well because you can line up all that straight shooting with shocks. No one ever thinks that shocks with the Snipe and into the stun is going to work so well, but it does. It puts so much directional one line of sight pressure, so when you can just pre-fire them basically around the corner. Very solid build as well. Shout out to Daniel. Very fun build. I haven't been able to try it yet, but watching him play it, he wrecks with it. So those nice. Are some good setups. Trying to think of anything else. I think that's the three main archetypes. You guys got...
I do have a question.
Absolutely.
For you. So, with the heavy armor build, you're running Fury and 7th Legion, mm-hmm. right?
One setup, yes.
Okay, so what is... how do I word this? What would somebody's typical playstyle be with that build? Like, what are you looking for to... Like any openers or... You know what I mean?
So, for that one, Fury is definitely a set that... prioritizing a kind of a brawler style, so you kind of want to do a walk-up play style on your sword and board, and you're kind of going to keep keeping up your hots for healing, so like your vigor, your vines and things like that, so you start taking some damage, so you see your numbers going up. As it gets higher and higher, that's when you start picking away at them with some big hits. And on your front bar, it's going to be, your opener would usually be, if you run it, crit charge into an uppercut, and then by then your shocks is going to proc. So your shocks, crit charge, uppercut, and then into a Dawnbreaker, into an execute. And basically it's just this really nice fast burst that you can usually line up to go off in like usually less than 2 seconds. So very nice bursty line of sight walk up kind of style.
Oh, nice.
So I don't know if you use it or not, Grim, but I even use it on the PvE side of things. There's an add-on for you PC players out there. It's called Gray Skull. Have you ever heard of that one?
What's that one do?
So Gray Skull, and it's just it's all one word, GreySkull. So what that does is it gives you a little box. I actually have mine placed right down next to my ability bar. And it gives you your current weapon or spell damage, however you have it set.
Huh.
So the reason why I downloaded it is because I'm always curious in Dungeons and Trials, like when I'm fully buffed and I got everything going, what my weapon damage and my spell damage gets up to. Well, I just recently found out that people use it in PvP majority of the time for that Fury set, so they know they can sit there and watch that weapon damage go up, and they know when they need to start bursting.
No way. Okay. Yeah. See, for me, I always watched a 20 counter, but that would be nice to see the factual number. That's really nice.
Yeah. It's a pretty cool little. It's a nice, simple little add-on. There's no real hard options or anything to it. You literally just set it to weapon or spell damage, whichever you're playing, and it just gives you this little. I don't know. Pinky knuckle sized little box that just displays your spell or weapon damage. And like I said, people, I got it from one of the, I saw it from one of the PvP streamers that I watch every now and again. And I asked him about it, and that's what he said. He says he originally downloaded it for his Fury setup because that way, like I said, when his, you know, he knew, you know, Fury gives you, I think, what's it, like 600 weapon damage when it's all capped out?
Yeah, I think roughly. I think it's 600 or 580, something like that.
So he knew he could sit there and, you know, take a beating because Fury increases your weapon damage based on the damage that you're taking. So he knew when Fury was done and when it was capped out, he knew that was his time to shine, in essence.
Yep, right. Yep, that makes sense.
Yeah, that sounds like a really nice add-on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to be downloading that myself.
Just fun little tip for you guys.
For sure. But yeah, sorry. So any other questions you guys got for the PvP side and some different things?
What would you recommend to run in Cyrodiil versus like a duel? You know what I mean?
For Cyrodiil, I definitely recommend that... group play style where you're really doing the dual wield, the AoEs, and your Northern Storm, because it's just going to offer a lot of control. The shocks, the bursts, and your spins are just going to really help take out those big groups you see in Cyrodiil. Sets wise, again, you can do medium or heavy. Most people in Cyrodiil like to run heavy because it keeps them alive a little longer, so you'll usually see that Fury 7th Legion dual wield two hands kind of setup.
Okay.
For dueling, you really want that just straight up burst with just the right amount of like healing to keep you alive, so you can kind of get away with a. You can usually do 2 damage sets in a duel if you know your timing and you know your openings and you're careful while leaving in heavy attack, so you hit harder.
Ah,
yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, that would be the distinctual difference between the two of the, at least the way I would play it. Again, I'm definitely no expert, but definitely how I would play it.
Okay, so would you run Bloodspawn in both situations, in Cyrodiil and in a duel?
In a duel, no, I would probably be running that Troll King because I'll be planning on doing a little bit more damage, so that any kind of extra healing I can get for free like that would be nice so I can run those 2 damage sets. Overland...
Okay, I gotcha.
It's nice to have that blood spawn because you can put up more Northern Storms and all dump better with your teams.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But yeah, overall, Stem Warden, lots of fun. Very, very viable for pretty much any situation and easily geared for any setup you really want. Definitely up there in the classes in terms of like fun playability and group utility.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's something that I brought up at the beginning of the when we first started talking about this. Like, whether you're a PvPer or you're a PvEer, you cannot go wrong with the Stem Warden.
Absolutely.
They're such a great class.
There's something for everybody in this class.
And actually, right now, this patch that we're currently in, I spent about, I'd say about 3 hours scouring the internet. And turns out the Mag Warden is the second highest DPS right now for the Magicka side.
Oh, I'll believe it.
So, yeah, if you're on the fence because you're a min-maxer and you play Mag, there you go. The Stem Warden, I think the Stem Warden dropped a little bit because I know... Or at least I'm fairly certain right now. Obviously, everybody knows Stamcrow is top. But I think it's like Stamcrow. I think Stamcrow, StamDK, StamSork, and StamPlar are all kind of way up there. But I think Stem Warden's right there underneath of them. So it's still a very viable DPS. In in-game content, you can still hit those 80 marks, the 80Ks on the trial dummy, and possibly even higher. I haven't done a whole lot of research. For some reason, even though I mained wardens on console, I still have yet to finish a warden here on PC, which I probably honestly won't, unless they really nerf the shit out of Templars, because right now that's what I'm playing. I'm playing a Mag and Stam Templar. But yeah, if you're a healer, give it a whirl. If you're a tank, give it a whirl, and if you're DPS, give it a whirl. Yeah. Wardens are a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely.
And with that being said, does anybody else have anything to add with the Warden before we move on to the Dungeon of the Week?
So I've got just a few things to add, and this isn't, and this doesn't pertain to the Warden or anything. But as you guys know, I do a lot of solo play and PvP. And so I've got just a couple things that I want to, that I would like to see implemented in the game that I think would be pretty cool. Such as like quest locked sets. So you can only find these types of sets by doing a certain kind of quest. Like if they had. Really up the difficulty of some of these quests and make some of the sets that they drop actually, you know, pretty decent sets and make them good for that kind of stuff. And they could
kind of making questing a little more rewarding.
Right. Yeah. Make the sets like overland buffed sets. So like, you know, how False Gods gives you that minor slayer for dungeons and trials and stuff. I would like to see some kind of buff that gives you a buff for just regular overland enemies. I think that would be kind of neat.
Yeah, that would, I do agree with you, that would be pretty cool. But the one thing I would say about that, if they were ever to implement something like that, then that means they would have to buff the overland, right?
I would say so.
Yeah, because the overland stuff, for the most part, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's even world bosses, a lot of people can solo a lot of these world bosses, but, don't get me wrong, there's a handful of world bosses out there that if you can solo them, you're the bee's knees. There's some pretty rough world bosses.
I would just like to see the overland just maybe
get
a
some
little
love.
More, yeah, maybe a little more difficult content. Make some of the quests a little more rewarding. They could even give you some rare mounts for completing Cadwell's gold. Like, I've completed Cadwell's gold. I'm working on it for my third time, and I would like to see something like you know, amount given to you for completing a series of quests like that. That would be pretty cool.
So that has been a topic for a little while, the mount thing. Especially for people that came from WoW, that used to play WoW. Because I didn't play WoW for very long, so I can't say for sure. But from what I've heard, what I've been told, I guess there was some stuff in-game you could actually do with WoW where you could earn mounts. Kind of like how, I mean, granted, the mount that they did that here on ESO is a little rough to get because you got to go in and get your hard modes done on Vet Sunspire. But, yeah, I totally agree with that, dude. Like, it would be so cool if there was, like, some... Maybe not as hard a content as hard mode Sunspire, but, you know, some, you know, a little rougher content to get through solo that would reward you with a mount. That would be so freaking cool.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome. And the next thing that I got here is, it's just like a nitpicky note, but I wish that when you harvest a resource node, it would show you how many of those resources you have in your inventory. That's just me being a little nitpicky because I would just, you know, if I'm out farming or anything, it would just be nice to see what you got just as you are gathering those things. And
oh, I get, so like if you picked like an ancestor silk, it would come up and say, you know, you picked up 2 ancestor silk and now you have 1,600 ancestor silk.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
something
that's like that. Pretty nice. That would be nice.
And another thing that I noticed, and this pertains to Cyrodiil, is when you're looking at your campaign menu after you press L, I believe is the initial hotkey. But as you're looking at it, it'll show you how many friends are in a certain campaign, and it'll show you how many guilds are in a certain campaign. I wish it would say, like, it'd be cool if you could click on it and it would show you which friends and which guild is in, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That would be... Yeah. And other than that, just overall performance could always use some love. And,
oh, yeah. Especially for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm running on a pretty rough rig, so she's a
kind
dinosaur.
Of circling back to your resource nodes. What would be pretty cool is if there was, even if there's an add-on, which, you know, kind of like there's an app for that. There may be an add-on, but it'd be cool if you could get a instead of showing your total resources that you have, show the total resources that you've picked for that day.
Oh yeah, that'd be awesome.
I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm sure there's some kind of add-on out there that does something like that. But
yeah, well, I'm just... Because that would kind of help, like... You know, like, if you... For example, like myself, on console, I was a huge farmer. Like, I farmed resources like they were going to leave the game. But here on PC, I really don't farm. Like, I farm so little. I'm almost CP 700, and I don't have enough mats to do my jewelry writs. Like, I can't do them because I don't have the mats for it. But if you had an add-on or if there was something in the game that implemented, like, how many resources you've looted that day, that would kind of give you... You could kind of set yourself a goal for each day. You know, so you didn't just go out and... Because, what I used to do on console, if I got into a farming mood, I'd turn on Spotify, I'd go to Bleakrock Isle, and I'd just run that bitch 100 times. Just sit there and run circles around it.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you had something telling you how much you had per day, you know, you kind of set yourself a goal like, okay, I'm gonna pick 500 Rubidite ore today. You know, and then you could, you know, set yourself a goal. I don't know. Be kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Anything like that, I think, would be kind of cool.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool. It's nothing, you know, it's definitely not a game-breaking issue or anything like that. Or,
no,
or even an issue at all. It's just...
Just a little detail.
Yeah, just a little little suggestion request type deal.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, that's pretty much As I play, I kind of write things down that I would like to see put in the game, or maybe that could use a little overhaul in home.
All right, dude. Like, we're big enough dorks as it is playing the SO. Like,
yeah,
you gotta take it to the next dork stage.
Oh, definitely. Okay, hey, we make a podcast about a game. Come on.
Well, I wasn't gonna go that far, but. Right. Oh, speaking of which, I've been wearing. In the mornings, I've been wearing my Skyrim shirt out here on the road, and it's the one that, what the hell does this thing say? Sorry I'm late, and then it's got the, you cannot fast travel when enemies are nearby.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I've gotten complimented twice.
Really?
In the last two days on my shirt.
That's awesome.
Wow.
I'm at this truck stop I'm at right now. I went inside to get my water and whatnot, and the cashier, actually, he made a comment about my shirt. He goes, you know, I read it, I didn't quite get it, and then I saw the Skyrim emblem, and then I got it. I was like, that's awesome.
Small world, man.
Nice.
Nerds are everywhere now.
Yep, other than that, that's all I had to say about my solo play throughout the week. I've been mainly just PvPing, so those are my only notes on solo.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Now,
I got.
Now, the dungeon that we have for this week is mission.
City of Ass.
City
number
of
one.
Ass.
So, as a lot of you probably know, this is a fairly simple dungeon. We are getting a little closer to the harder dungeons.
Yeah, don't worry. We're getting there.
Don't worry. Now, this one actually. Which one? Yeah, second boss and the last. Right? No, sorry. Third boss and the last boss. I have seen issues in there before with some groups. But again, this is a fairly easy dungeon, so we're going to dive right on in there. We got six bosses six total bosses. A couple of them are mini bosses. But our very first boss is Infernal Guardian. Second one, Golar, the Banken Handler, Warden of the Shrine, Dark Ember, Rotherial, Flameheart, and then Razor Master Ethris. Earth or Thos. Whatever. Razor Master.
Perfect.
Exactly. So, the Infernal Guardian. He is a big ol' lurcher. And he is literally any lurcher you fought in the game, he has the same mechanics. He's got that bash. He's got a heavy attack. I mean, except for the Moonhunter Keep Lurcher. This guy's got the same mechanics as all the basic lurchers. It's a stack and burn. Nothing too crazy with him. You do have a handful of adds when you first go that you have to kill. I mean, you can do like we do and just pull everything to him. But for the most part, you got a handful of adds that he actually sits inside like this little tree. Kill all the adds, bring him on out, or stack inside. I personally like fighting him inside. Just in case you got that unlucky cue when you got a kite tank, he can't really kite around too much because you're inside that little area. But yeah, he's super easy. Golar, the Banken Handler. Oh my god, this guy's ridiculously easy. He's got a couple little, Banken. Imagine that. He's got like six or seven of them that are going to come running at you like psychopaths. They die really, really easy. Now, with him in particular, if you take too long to kill him, which you shouldn't, but if you do, he will spawn more Banken, and you'll have to deal with them little bastards even more. But he is, you know, just burn his ass down. Now, the first boss that I've seen issues is Warden of the Shrine. So he is the boss that after you kill Golar, you walk up the path, you go up the stairs, and there's a little platform. The boss is up there. He teleports around, and when he teleports, he does this like whirlwind ability, or steel tornado, whatever you want to call it. And when he does that, in the radius that he does that, he puts a fire AoE on the ground. Now, if you have a healer with you, and they're a competent healer, just stand in the fire. Healer can heal you through it. If you're trying to 3DPS it, and you don't have self heals, or you're not paying attention, the fire will kill you. So keep an eye out for that. He does also do a teleport strike type thing on random players. And the big thing with this boss that drives me absolutely nuts, especially with inexperienced tanks, if you pull him off the steps, he's going to reset. You have to keep him on that pad. Now, it kind of sucks because you're dealing with his fire AoE, but it's better than starting the fight over.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. The next boss is Dark Ember. Sorry about that, my truck just started. Next boss is Dark Ember. This is a fire atro. Now, before you actually get to her, you got 15 to 20 adds you got to clean up. And then she'll spawn with more adds. She has this... what is it called? Oh, I can't remember what the... I think Fiery Eruption, I think. It's an AoE on the ground that bursts. Literally, it erupts fire out of the ground. If you're standing in that, especially if you're a vampire, it's going to hurt quite a bit. I don't think it'll kill you. But... as, you know, rule number one in DPS, don't stand in stupid. It does give you plenty of time. The AoE will show up. You can get out of it. But again, she is another stack and burn. No real mechanics on her. Rotherial Flameheart. Depending on your DPS, this boss is... this is actually kind of... it's an easy boss, but she's kind of cool. Because she'll come out and she'll 1v1 you, you know. And then all of a sudden she'll disappear and she'll put, I think it's either 5 or 6 AoEs in a circle on the ground. And then 5 or 6 copies of her pop up. Usually, even if you have lower DPS, usually the DPS is still sufficient enough to where almost as soon as those 5 copies come up, they die and she comes back out. So she is a really easy boss, but I kind of like that mechanic where she copies herself. Once you get her done, you go through the door and you go on down to Razor Master Urthas. This guy is annoying. So we always play a game with him, and what we always do is, which usually on regular vet we can do it, but we try to kill him before he teleports. On regular vet, normally we can do it. Hard mode, we usually can't. We usually get him down to like 10, 15, 10%. But, so he's going to come out, tank will grab aggro. You guys do your DPS to him. Go ahead and ulti dump right at the beginning. And I do mean right at the beginning, because it ain't going to take long and he's going to teleport. So you don't want to ulti dump. You don't want to get through like half your rotation and then an ulti dump, because you're just going to waste half your ulti. The ulti dump right away on him. It's going to push him to his first teleport. He's going to teleport to a different island. Go over to him, keep DPSing him. Now, he's going to spawn flame atros around. Just ignore them. They will hit random DPS that's going to put a dot on you. And I just found out recently that a lot of people don't know this. If you have that dot, it's a burning dot. And it's a pretty heavy dot. If you do have that dot on you, all you have to do is jump in the water and sit in the water for a second, and it'll go away. The water will actually put the burning dot out, essentially.
Really?
But yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's a true story. But yeah, you knock this guy down. Hard mode is no different. He gets a little more health, and he hits a little bit harder. But other than that, it's the same fight, just duplicated. And once you get him done, you will get your monster helmet, which is Infernal Guardian. This is a pretty cool monster set. I do see it used in PvP a lot. The first line, it adds 1096 max magicka. And then once you get your shoulder piece from Galerion's chest, I guess now you can pick the chest that has City of Ash in it. The two pieces, when you use a damage shield ability, you have a 50% chance to lob three mortars over 2 seconds at the furthest enemy away from you that deals 55 flame damage to all enemies within 5 meters of the blast area. This effect can occur once every 6 seconds. So it is a nice pressure set. And it is, since I play Magblade, it's super annoying. Because if I get hit by one, it pulls me out of invis. But yeah, it's a nice little set for PvP. I wouldn't really recommend it for PvE in really any situation, honestly. But it is a decent set for PvP. I see Sorcs using it quite a bit.
Sorcs, that's your bread and butter, because basically it turns your one needed spamble for survival into a offensive tooltip. It's quite nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And if you're running a set like Hatchling Shell, that'll basically keep that up, on off cooldown.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's something that I did with a Stamplar on console. Is I ran Hatchling Shell with Infernal Guardian, and just
lobbing mortars constantly.
Yep, all the time.
So there is one significant set out of City of Ash that I'm going to cover, and it's a big one, and it is Burning Spellweave. Burning Spellweave, even though City of Ash is still an old dungeon, Burning Spellweave is still a damn good set. It is still probably, second tier in DPS. If you can't get Mother Sorrow or... Not even Mother Sorrow. I wouldn't even say Mother Sorrow. Because you could pair this Burning Spellweave with Mother Sorrow. Basically, if you can't get Trial Gear, run Burning Spellweave if you're mag. With that being said, that does kind of handicap you to running a Flame Staff. So keep that in mind. But the Burning Spellweave, the two item adds 1096 max mag. Then we get 129 spell damage. Then we get 833 spell crit, and then the five piece. When you deal damage with a flame damage ability, light attacks do count if you're using a fire staff. People, you have a 15% chance to apply the burning status effect to the enemy and increase your spell damage by 525 for 8 seconds. This effect can occur once every 12 seconds. So, this set is the bee's knees. So yep. Even if you're not that great at light attack weaving, you throw elemental blockade. That's a fire ability. If you're using, I think even elemental weapon procs it, because elemental weapon does all three. I think force shock does it.
Anytime you apply the burning status effect in any way.
Yeah. Yep. Anything that is a fire is a flame damage ability. Anything. Will proc this, and it's a great set. This was last patch when I was playing Magwarden. I tested this over. Who did I test this over? I think I tested this over Sororia's, and it was only like a 4K difference. So it's solid ass set. Now the other sets that do drop out of this. There we go. Peter kind of locked up for a second. The other sets that drop out of here are Sunder Flame and Ember Shield. Those are 1000% decon and research pieces, people.
Yep.
Free research and decon right there in City of Ash.
Yeah.
But yeah, that Burning Spell we've set. Try to get everything of it. Weapons and jewelry, which... J-Rum has had Stendar on his side and has gotten 2 Inferno Staves already since being on PC.
I have.
I still, to this day, after creating 46 characters, I have still only had 1 drop for me. But yeah, all divines, and get all your weapons and jewelry for it. It's a great, great back bar set, backup set. Especially in a situation where, which I know right now a lot of people are using False Gods, but before False Gods was a thing, this replaced Sororia's. if you couldn't viably use sorority, as you'd throw your burning spell weave on. And honestly, aside from the sustain issues, burning spell weave is gonna get you better numbers than false god's will anyways, if you can sustain it, which if you use my little cheese food trick, you'll be able to. Yeah, that wraps up City of Ash numero uno. Next week we will cover City of Ash 2, and I think next week we're gonna jump, well, so we're still waiting on Sidesteps to free up his schedule so we can get, I totally just gave our guest away.
That's alright.
Anyways, so we have Sidesteps. He's a guildmate of ours, and he is also a real life friend of mine and J-Rum's.
We all kind of grew up together.
We basically grew up together.
Yeah.
And in person, so I know there's more out there, but he is the best damn DK that I personally know. Last patch, he was hitting higher than Alcast, and if you guys know who Liko is, he was hitting higher than Liko with his damn DK. He's a very, very, very solid damn DK player when it comes to DPS. So once we get him to free up his schedule, he is going to be on to finish the damn DK episode. Next week is either going to be the damn DK, or we're going to start on the Necromancer, right?
I believe that is next.
I think that's our last one, isn't it?
Yeah,
that'll be the last class that we cover.
You guys will have known all the information. You'll know it all.
Yep. However, with that being said, since our first episode was such a flop, we're actually going to revisit the Sorcerer.
Yeah.
Because our audio quality was really, really poor. And we want to give you guys the information that we have in an audible situation. You know, we want you to be able to hear it and understand it to the best of our ability that we can give it to you in. So we will be covering the Sorcerer once we get through the rest of the classes. And then, also, don't worry for the classes that we missed with Grimm being here for the PvP things. We're going to do that. We're going to go back through. We're not going to cover the classes again PvE-wise, but the classes that Grimm wasn't on the show for, we are going to go through, and he will go through those for you guys. Other than that, that's all I got, guys. Do you guys have anything to add to the dungeon, to the builds, to the rotations, anything at all today?
No, that's pretty solid coverage of the Stam Warden, mm-hmm. I would say. How about you,
Same
Graham?
Here. I feel pretty confident. We covered our good bases. And, yeah, for me, that's all I got, other than just still enjoying that Midyear Mayhem.
I hear you there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and like we've said at the beginning, remember, these builds, these rotations, these are for one, our mm-hmm. opinion. These are what have yep. worked for us, and these are not, absolutely not required. Mm-hmm. Play your game how you want to play it. Build your tune how you want to build it. This is just to give you a decent start, yep. if you will.
A good foothold with a character before you can take off. Wheels ablazing.
Wheels ablazing. If that's everything, I want to get into ESO. So, I'll bid everybody adieu. Travel safe. Fight hard, friends.
Wait. Where can they find you, Mission?
Oh my god, where can they find me? Holy crap, thank you, J-Rom. you can find me. I forgot all about the promo section. I'm getting so excited. Dude, I've been driving all day. I haven't had any ESO time in. I'm like jonesing over here tweaking. you can find me at twitch.tv/brothersdamriel podcast. That is the podcast's Twitch channel, and also that is the channel that I stream on personally. I do manage the Twitter account, which is for all of us, brothers at Brothers of Tam. If you want to hit me up on my personal Twitter, it is @missionxxmaniac. And one, actually, I'm glad you reminded me of this, because so we want to give you guys the opportunity to not necessarily Brothers of Tamriel stuff, but really anything creative, like whatever. So me and J-Rum's mom, the mother of the Brothers of Tamriel, she is the mother of Tamriel. Yes. She's a very, very talented, person when it comes to like, just arts and crafts, if you will. For any of you that saw me in Vegas, my t-shirt and my hoodie, both my mom made. I think there was a stream a while back, she made me a Dragon Ball Z cup. If any of y'all, any of you saw that, there's a handful of you that I showed the Brothers of Tamriel cup that she made for us. She does excellent work. And if you guys are interested in that, or she does other stuff, I mean, the Brothers of Tamriel stuff that she's been doing has just been kind of like for us on the side. That's not like what she normally does. She does, just absolutely anything. Anything that you can think of that is like a sign, a candle holder, a pair of socks, a shirt, a sweatshirt, a hoodie, whatever. I mean, mugs, cups, anything that you guys are interested in. Definitely go check her out. That is at facebook.com/ D as in Delta MR Crafts. CRAFTS. DMR Crafts. All one somewhat word. Facebook.com/ DMR Crafts. Go check her out. Definitely pick up some stuff. Any bit of help that you guys, which we won't get into that. That's a little deep, a little dark, a little personal. Moral of the story, our family is going through some hard stuff right now, and anything and everything that you guys like that my mom makes or that our mom makes, any little bit that goes towards her and our dad is huge and greatly appreciated. But the biggest thing is she makes some amazing stuff. Like, I wish this was a live episode right now because I would show you guys our cup that she made us. But yeah, definitely go check that out. Facebook.com/ DMR Crafts. All one word. And that is where you can find me, J-Rum. Where can they find you, brother?
They can find me. I'm over at Twitch. Twitch.tv/ J-Rumberg. You can find me in game. My ID is JRumberg2. Go ahead and hit me up in game if you guys want to fart around with me and do some PvP in or do some stuff. I'm JRumberg on Xbox as well, so pretty much JRumberg anywhere except for my Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffAnotherShot.
Why don't you change that?
I like it.
Whatever.
It's my old handle, man.
I know.
I'm sticking with it.
Grim, sticking to it.
Grim, where can they find you, my man?
You can find me on pretty much the same things. I am on Twitch and YouTube. I'm going to be making content pretty soon. Email is Grim, G-R-I-M, Fate, F-A-T-E, 2555 at Gmail. Other than that, my at name is exactly the same as my email. You can reach me in the game at any time in the Lore Seekers or Brothers of Tamriel guilds.
And perfect. Your Twitter, you did change that to @GrimFate2555, correct. Right? Okay, yeah, because there was, I think it was Lotus of Doom. He must have checked out the episode where you came onto the show, because I got a notification that he tagged you, welcoming you to the Brothers of Tamriel, and he used that at Fate2555.
Yes. So I did make one universally, so, under Grim Fate2555. So apologies for that.
Gotcha.
So yeah, just to clear that up, he is no longer at Fate2555. 2555. It is at Grim 25. Grim Fate 2555.
Thank you.
Yep.
And now, I think I could say that's a show.
Yep.
And always, we want to hear from you. That is one thing I forgot to say. Any compliments, any complaints, anything at all, build ideas, rotations, whatever. We want to hear from you. Brothers of Tamriel Podcast at gmail.com. Send it on over. We haven't heard much in a while, and we want to hear from you guys. Anything at all, anything you'd like us to talk about. Doesn't have to be over builds, rotations, dungeons, anything. It could be, you know, whatever. You want to talk about the Trump impeachment? Let's do it.
Like, well, I don't know. We won't get into that.
I'm just kidding, but seriously. We'll get anything Tamriel related. Shoot it over to us. Let us know what you like about the show, what you dislike about the show. And I think that's a show this time. So as always, friends, travel safe, fight hard.